Well, yeah, guys, as Jason said, my name's Erica Ashley, and I'm so excited to be with you guys this year and just to get to learn with you and grow with you this year and just to get to know you. It's going to be a great year. There's a lot of fun things planned, and so one of them is Pine Cove coming up. Anyone going? Yeah? We got a lot of registrations in today, so that's great. But mainly just what I wanted to share today with you guys is just a little bit about who I was at your age. And I'm 24 now. I'll be 25 next week. And so I don't know a ton about life, but I have been through middle school. And I really, it's just my heart. And I love students your age and just getting to hang out with you guys and love on you guys. And so, but last week, I love Harrison, if you guys were here. I don't know if you guys were here or not, but Harrison talked about this idea that there's a difference between who we are and what we do, right? So what we do are things like, what sports team do you play on, or what classes do you take, or what group do you run with at school, or what do you like to do in your spare time, okay? So all these things are things that make up what we do. And then there's another side of us that's just who we are, right? And this is like our value system, our beliefs, what we believe about God, the things that kind of drive our decision-making. And oftentimes you hear the term character associated with who someone is, right? And so Harrison talked about this idea that there's a difference between the two. And one of the things, I just love that he said that, because I, as a middle schooler, I just didn't get that at all. Like, no one had ever told me, Erica, there's totally a difference between who you are and what you do. And who you are is actually way more important than what you will ever do, anything you'll ever do. And so so Erica, in middle school, I was totally into basketball. That was like my thing. I loved it. I was really obsessed, and I wanted to play in college. Believe it or not, there's professional women's basketball, and I wanted to do that. And so not only was basketball what I wanted to do, basketball was who I wanted to be. I wanted to be defined by this all-star, super got-it-together-on-the-court girl, and that's what I wanted my identity to be in middle school. And at the same time, my home life wasn't that great. My parents are incredible people, and I have a great relationship with them now. But during the time, during my sixth and particularly seventh and eighth grade years, my parents, there was a lot of tension in my home. I would go home from school and after basketball practice at night, and it just wasn't a fun place to be. And I don't know if some of you guys can relate to that, but sometimes family's just hard, and families, you live together, and so everyone's just who they are, and sometimes that's tough, and there's conflict. But anyway, so fast forward, so that's kind of like where I was in middle school, and I wanted my identity and just everything, my security and my acceptance and all the things that I didn't know I was looking for, but I was looking for, I was trying to find in basketball. And so fast forward to college, and I'm sophomore year of college, and I'm sitting in at a camp at Kennecut Camps. Anyone ever been? Heard of it? Woo! All right, yeah. So I worked at this camp one summer, right? And so it's the last week, and we're sitting. It's kind of like awards night ceremony, closing ceremonies, whatever you want to call it. And so we're sitting there, and Ricky Jemerson was the camp director at the time, and he came up on stage, and he was just sharing a little of his heart. And one of the things that he read out of the scripture, and I want to read this for you guys this morning. And it's found in John chapter 7, and it's verses 37 and 38. And it says this, it says, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within him." And I don't know, you guys, I just remember sitting there and thinking to myself, that's me. I'm thirsty. That was me in seventh and eighth grade, when all I wanted to do was be this all-star basketball player and be known for that. And what I was looking for was acceptance. I wanted to be loved. I wanted to be told that you are worth something, and you have it together, and you're worth loving and pursuing. And that's the acceptance. That's what I was looking for. And so in college, when I hear this man that I respect so much say these words, and these are Jesus's words, and he says, "Listen, is anyone thirsty?" In the context of this verse, he's talking to a crowd of people who are actually debating with each other, like, is this the Messiah, and is this the Christ? And there's some people that are like, yeah, this is him, and there's others like, I don't know. And so I don't know about you guys, but there was a place, there was a time in my life, and there still is some now, when I sometimes, like, as a middle schooler, I questioned, like, is Jesus worth giving my life to? Or God, is that really the best way? Or God, are you real? And God, can I, when I talk to you, do you really hear me? And all these things I questioned. And so I just love this verse because Jesus is just saying, yes, like that's you. If you're thirsty, I want to provide everything that you need emotionally, spiritually. When you look to someone to get your acceptance of who you are, I want to be that for you. And I purchased your sin on a cross so that I could provide those things for you, and that you could look to me for your identity in knowing who you are. And so I don't think that ever sunk in until even years later after I heard that. I think that was kind of a pivotal moment for me as a college student, of just even looking back on my middle school years and thinking to myself, like, I was so thirsty for something real and something that I could invest my life in that would count. And so eventually my dreams of becoming like professional basketball player died because I realized I was a slow white girl and that was never going to happen. So if I could leave you guys with one thing today, and just, I appreciate you guys letting me share, but it's just that there's an absolute difference between who you are and what you want to do. And who you are will always be more important than what you do. I heard a pastor one time put it this way. He said, it's always a mistake to figure out what you want to do before you figure out who you want to be. Because who you are ultimately affects everything you'll ever do, right? The people you interact with, the people you work with. You can have all the money and the fame in the world, and you see this with professional athletes all the time, and they lose it on the drop of just a single decision with drugs or just whatever it may be, and they lose everything they ever had, their identity. And so, but if you're focused on that as a middle schooler, and you can start to kind of get that tape playing in your head of like, okay, God, like, I know that you made me and you made me for a purpose, then guys, I guarantee you, you won't regret it. You will not regret abandoning everything else in your life for Christ. And so I want to leave you guys with that today. So thanks for letting me share. I think Will is going to come up next and share a little about his life. So thanks, guys.
All right. Can y'all hear me? Sort of, yes. I need to use this because I kind of move around a little bit more. I typically don't like to sit, so bear with me as I move around a little bit. My name is Will. I'm so happy to be here. I am from Nashville, Tennessee. Who likes country music? Anybody? Come on. I like country music as well. I am from the home of country music, Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. It's about 10 hours away from here. Has anybody ever been there before? Yes, right on. Awesome. Okay. Big city, you know, similar to, I mean, not as big as Dallas. Dallas is huge, by the way. I'm still transitioning. I moved here like 3 weeks ago, my wife and I and our little 11-month-old daughter. Actually, no, she's almost a year. Wow. Okay. Woo. She is a week away, no, 2 weeks away from turning one. Oh my gosh. I've been a father for a year. It's pretty awesome. I'm here to do the same thing that Erica did, and it's funny, as we were sharing about what we were talking about with each other, we realized there were a lot of similarities between the two of us as far as aspirations that we had for the future and growing up and whatnot. But so who was I in junior high? When I think back to junior high, I was the good kid. Okay, put quotations on that. And the reason I put quotations on that is because I did what the good kids were supposed to do, and I stayed away from stuff that good kids were supposed to stay away from. I didn't drink, I didn't do drugs, I didn't have sex, I didn't do all this stuff. I was a good kid, all right? I grew up in a Christian home. Both my parents love the Lord, and so I consider that a blessing for sure. I went to church every Sunday, grew up in youth group just like this, and it was really fun. And I made good decisions, and I was a good kid. And I fought, though, on a side note, I fought really hard to please people. Really, really hard. Like, I was a pretty good athlete growing up, and I played as many sports as I possibly could, as many sports as my parents would let me, and they were like, yeah, hey, go have fun. Go tire yourself out. So, if I had a ball in my hand, okay, I was looking to do something with it. Basketball, football, baseball, whatever. So, I played sports, and I was okay at sports, and then I went to school and I made okay grades. I wasn't a great straight A student, but I was an average student, you know, A's, B's, maybe a C or two. C's, okay sometimes, but you don't want to make a habit out of making C's. And so I was the good kid. And people knew I was a Christian, all right? But I'll go ahead and say that I knew that Jesus died for me. I did. I knew that. But pleasing people and hanging out, trying to win myself into this crowd that I knew was popular at my school in my grade, that was what I was shooting for rather than glorifying the Lord in everything I do and everything I say and everything that I am. I knew Jesus died. Up here, okay, in my mind, I knew Jesus died for me. I knew that. And I knew the Bible was God's word. I knew that up here. But I didn't know it in here. That glorifying God and glorifying Jesus and everything I do, and that being my identity, okay, quickly was not that. It became people. And it became doing good things to glorify myself rather than glorify the Lord. Who did I want to be? And this is where Erica and I had similarities. In a lighthearted fashion, I wanted to be a Division I basketball player. Okay? In lighthearted fashion. I say lighthearted because I quickly found out, okay, that is not what I was going to be doing because I was not Division I material for basketball. I was riding the bench, if you may, in basketball. But that's okay. That's definitely not what the Lord had in store. But I had this great idea. It'd be awesome to be a Division I college basketball player and play on TV every weekend. But that wasn't the case. In all honesty, I finished junior high and I moved into high school. Still kind of struggling with, okay, I know this stuff in my mind. I know that Jesus died for my sins, but why do I continue to strive and look for fulfillment in people, in making good decisions so that I wouldn't get in trouble, you know, or that I wouldn't go to hell because I was scared of hell? You know, at 7 years old, I believe that I was saved, but it wasn't until I turned about 15 years old, all right, beginning of high school. Well, let me backtrack a little bit. 12 years old, I got invited to Canacut Camps, another similarity between Erica and I. I got invited by a friend of mine to go to Canacut Camps. Who's been to Canacut before? Right on. I grew up as a kid there for 7 years. From 12 years old to 18 years old, I was a camper for 7 years. And that was the first place, guys and girls, that I legitimately saw what it meant to follow Jesus Christ wholeheartedly. I saw people, I saw college students from all over the nation, okay, thousands of them, following Jesus Christ with their whole, these people were joyful, these people were motivated, these people were determined, they had hope, they had a purpose in life, and I wanted that. There was kind of that, you know, I kept fulfilling all those voids with pleasing people and making good grades and putting a lot of pressure on myself and thinking that my dad and my mom had high expectations of me. And that was who I was in junior high. And I quickly realized that Jesus died for all of that. To be my identity. To identify with me. You ever think about why Jesus, you know, went through some of the hard stuff that he went through and went through all the temptation in the desert, and then he was crucified on the cross, and he was spat on, and he was called names, and he was beat up, and all that bad stuff is because he came down to earth to identify with me and with you. The hard stuff we go through sometimes, it's not really compared to what Jesus went through on the cross, but you know what? We can find comfort in knowing that Jesus knows what suffering is and that Jesus knows what pain is. And I had a lot of pain that I just really wasn't aware of and dealing with. And I got around all these people at Canacook and they blessed me in big ways by showing me that there's more to life than finding my identity in pleasing people and making good grades, pleasing my parents, getting straight A's, so on and so forth. God was calling me and is calling me still to this day to follow Jesus. But in order to follow somebody, right, we've got to trust that person, right? You're not just going to meet somebody, you know, Joe Schmo on the, on, you know, downtown Dallas and so, hey, what's up, man? And he, like, you just met him, you exchange names, like, hey, come out to eat with me. And you're kind of like, well, that's weird. You're not going to do that. You want to build a relationship with that person first, and you want to be able to trust that they're a good person and they're not going to hurt you. In order to follow somebody, in order to follow Jesus, you've got to first trust he is who he says he is and that the word says he is. My identity in being the good kid and making the right decisions and being fearful of failure, you know, messing up and being hard on myself and pleasing people and being the successful athlete, Christ died for all that stuff. I died with him, my sins were buried with him, and I had found new life in him. I got some scripture I want to share with you guys. It's Romans 6, 1 through 4. Can we, there it is. Okay, read along with me. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Okay, so it starts out with two questions. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means, exclamation point. No, absolutely not, as some other translations say. Absolutely not. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Right? That makes sense. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? You know, when I was in junior high, I approached scripture and somebody would share scripture with me. And I honestly, at the place that I was in life, I was like, bro, help me out. I don't know what you're saying. Okay, that doesn't make any sense to me. This book I know was written a long time ago. You're going to have to help me out here. Give me a little love, okay? So I'm going to help you. Okay, I was driving down I-75 the other day and I came up with this little, you know, a little stupid analogy here. But I hope it makes sense because it helps this scripture make sense to me as well. Okay, who's ever pulled out an expired milk jug, like, out of your fridge before? Okay, you open up the top, right, and you go, like, oh, you know, you just immediately, rotten, smells nasty, and you just want to toss it, right? Exactly. You know, I went into the fridge the other day, and my wife and I, we have this little, you know, we buy these little containers of deli meat, you know, turkey and ham and whatnot, and I pulled out the deli meat container, and it was definitely expired, written, the expiration date had definitely expired, and I opened it up, it was like, whoo, that's raunch. Okay, so same thing with a milk jug, right? Rotten milk smells horrible. And what do? You take it and you say, I ain't drinking that, and you pour it out, the rest of it out in the sink, and then you bury that thing in the trash can. And you never go back to it ever again. Okay, who wants to smell rotten milk on a daily basis? Not me. Oh, a few people raise their hands. That's weird. So anyways, and then what do? The next step in the process is, well, I got to have some milk. So you go to the store and you purchase a brand new milk jug of milk. And kind of, you know, I know it sounds silly, but to those of you who are in junior high, and if you were like me when I was in junior high, when I saw scripture like this, I'm like, what the heck is Paul talking about? The Apostle Paul wrote this. What the heck is he talking about? He's saying that we, in a sense, start out like this rotten, expired jug of milk, and that we are rotten. Our sin makes us rotten. It's smelly, all this stuff. And we pour it out. We don't want to have anything to do with it anymore. We want freedom. We want hope, right, that we're talking about. We want our identity to be in something else more than the stuff that I put my identity in. We pour it out, and we toss it in, we bury it in the trash can. And then God took his son and he nailed him to a cross to die for the sins of the world. We go to the store and we purchase a new jug of milk. And God has purchased us to be his own through the blood of Christ. And that, girls and guys, is one of the most humbling things I could possibly think of. I'd really challenge you and encourage you, if you're a Christian, are you choosing to place your identity in Christ or something else? If you're a Christian, if you know Jesus Christ and he's living in your heart, Holy Spirit has come into your heart, are you still choosing to place your identity in Christ like we're called to, or something else like people, friends, money, clothes, house, Facebook, Twitter? It could be anything like that. Do you take the fact that Jesus died for that sin, it was buried with him, and then he gave you new life? And there's no reason that we should go back. Like it says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We should not. Absolutely not. Because we died to sin. How can we live it any longer? And that passage of Scripture, and let me encourage you with this, that passage of Scripture still speaks to me today. It wasn't just then, okay? I have to continue to go back to it. Because I am still tempted to place my identity in things of this world rather than Christ. I still struggle with that today. But you know what? I know in those moments that I'm tempted, I know not to give in because I know my identity is found in Christ and that He is worth far more than anything ever was in junior high. Okay, so that's my encouragement for you this morning. That's kind of who I was. And you can start now. And that's what we're talking about, right? Fast forward. You don't fast forward and think about who you want to be. Think about who you are now. Think about who you want to be. Who's in your life that you really look up to because they're loving Jesus with their whole heart. And you can start now. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait till you're these leaders' age. You don't have to wait till you're, you know, my age, till you're married or have a kid. Or you don't have to wait. Starts now. Let me pray for us, okay? God, thanks so much for sending your Son to die on the cross, Lord. Thank you for burying our sins in the grave, Lord, and thank you for raising Christ on the third day, Lord, and giving us new life spiritually. Lord, sometimes that's hard to comprehend. That's just how amazing you are and how amazing your love and grace is that we just can't comprehend it. And so, Lord, we stop and we thank you for that, and we thank you that we have now found purpose and our identity is in Christ. And that we can relate to Christ and we can identify with Him because of what He did for us. Be with these guys and these girls as they go throughout this week and keep them safe. We love you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.